time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, and good morning and welcome to Thursday. Yes, it is. My. And I hope that not everyone today is watching the release of that Mueller report, the redacted version of it, redacted meaning edited version. And I know a lot of people are going to be watching that, but I hope you loyal people stick with me today because, well, I've got some things to give away, of course. I've got, I've got a Jags shirt. I've got tickets to McDonald's and tickets to the show at the Palace Theater a week from this weekend on the 27th. And let's see what else is happening. The 27th, that's a big day in a big Saturday in Marion. The 27th will feature the Historical Society's show at Tri Rivers. That's called, what is it called here? Time Travelers Fair. That's from noon till 5. And then after 5 o'clock, you have the Marionaires and their concert. And so, you know, a lot of things going on. Okay. And so I've got one McDonald's meal. I've got tickets to, that's right. I've got tickets to Mamma Mia. Remember the, what was the name of the group that sang that Mamma Mia? Okay. I've got two tickets to that if you're a winner today and you'd like such. Okay. And I've got two coffee cups and a partridge in a pear tree. 10:18's the time, 10:18 and a half. If you're looking at your clock and wondering if it's correct, yes, the correct time is right now in 3 seconds, 10:19, and the date is April the 18th. And the year, what is the year? 19, it's 19, that's something. I can't even remember what year it is. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, it's today would be 1819. All right. It's April 18th, 1919. All right. Oh, moving right along today. Okay, so I go back to, well, this is George Kosoda's day, by the way. But just like yesterday was Fred Malone's day, I didn't see Fred Malone, and now today I don't see George Kosoda's. I wonder where George is. He's probably immersed in some lemon juice and olive oil somewhere. Okay, well, you never know. George may be here yet today. In the meantime, though, I'll go back to some of the questions I had yesterday that never did get an answer. And hopefully, maybe you've given these questions some thought yourself. For instance, I didn't ask it yesterday, but I'll ask it today. Where was the first state capital of Ohio? What city had the first capital of this in the state of Ohio? You know, we were formed in 1803. And then in 2003, we had the bells produced. And I saw was just on TV the other day, an antique bell. And the foundry was the same foundry, I'm sure, that produced the 2003 bells. And where is the one that was produced in Marion? The Marion County Bell. Is it located in the courthouse annex? Where is, it's a good question. Where is the 2003 bell that was poured during the Marion County Fair? All the bells, all 88, or how many, there are quite a few counties. And there was a bell poured for every county in 2003. But where is the Marion Bell located? Now, I remember because I was down in, Caldwell, Ohio, and that's Belmont County, or whatever county it is. I remember the bell there, seeing that poured, but I wasn't in Marion at the fair when the 2003 bell was. But where is it? That's the thing. Where is it? There was such a fuss made about pouring these bells for every county in Ohio. But if you don't know where they are, here we go. Here's somebody that knows, I bet. Yes, go ahead, listener.
Was the first capital Chillicothe?
Yes, you're right. The first capital was Chillicothe. Okay, would you like something from McDonald's or the Mamma Mia or...
No, I've already won in the last
Days. Okay. Well, good enough. Well, I got you thinking anyhow.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, okay. Yes, the first capital of Ohio was Chillicothe. Have you ever been in Chillicothe? I've been there a number of times. Now, here's a good question. Chillicothe, what is the major industry of Chillicothe? Now, I think it still is. The major industry in Chillicothe was quite well known because it was like everywhere. The major industry in Chillicothe. Now, I used to spend an hour or two in Chillicothe every year when I bicycled the tour of the Scioto River Valley. Oh, here we go. Caller, go ahead.
It's the Mead.
Mead Paper Company, yes. Oh, I can smell it from here almost.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, right.
All clear to Circleville.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Would you like a prize?
No, I'm the same guy.
Okay, all right. So you've smelled Chillicothe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Very good. Hey, I wonder, I haven't been there a while. There was a Shoney's restaurant that I used to eat in there. I wonder if it's still there. Are you very familiar with Chillicothe now?
Well, I haven't been there in about 10 years, but it was there when I was there.
Yeah, okay. Same with me, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, good enough. Well, thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Bye. Yeah. I liked Shoney's. I remember the breakfast they served at Shoney's. Wow. There used to be a Shoney's over south of Mansfield at the corner of Hanley Road and Interstate 71. That was another Shoney's. But, now to detour just a little bit, restaurants of that size are having a little problem nowadays. Now, you go by restaurants on a Friday night and they're all jam-packed and can hardly hold anyone else. But then in the meantime, some of these larger restaurants are not doing that well. And I think that is why we have not seen the addition or the coming to in Marion of any large franchise-type restaurant. Now, in Mansfield, Mount Vernon, I remember they had one that was featured so much, their salads. I can't remember the name of it, but it's gone. But now, there are two restaurant chains that are doing well. That there was nothing. Now, I'm reverting back to something I saw on Facebook yesterday. The various restaurants and how many are closing, you know, different ones. But the ones that are doing well happens to be Starbucks. Now, if you notice in Marion, you'll see a lineup of cars waiting to be served at Starbucks. It's just, to me, and you know, they're not cheap. They're a little on the higher price end. But that doesn't matter. They're the in place. And so they line up to eat there. And then you go down the street a little ways, and where do you see another lineup even larger? At McDonald's. So McDonald's and Starbucks are the two restaurants that were not mentioned in the restaurants that are having a little problem. And most of the others have restaurants around the country that are closing. You know, not all of them, of course, but the nonprofits. It's really interesting. Now, that was on Facebook yesterday. Did you see it? Really interesting to read. Now, here, the one thing, you know, certain brand chains of restaurants were, well, Chipotle is one that, you know, they've had their problems, of course. It's been in the news. But there are certain restaurants. Now, Panera wasn't mentioned. Panera seems to do all right. They have good, healthy food, too. But now, McDonald's and, you know, Starbucks and some of those others have come out with healthy foods and kind of nipped the advantage of some of these other places that specialized in healthy products. So it is interesting. And, you know, out east of Marion by Menards, there's huge areas that have been up for sale for a long time. And you would have thought any time that some big chain restaurant would locate there. But now you can see why, because they're not all doing that well. And so it is. Now, the other place, and I haven't got a firm answer yet as to what is going in at the corner of Route 98 and 309. I've heard that it's a truck service area. Is that correct or not? Oh, what a prime area that is. Can you imagine any other prime area better than that? Good for most anything. But would it be a truck service depot? Boy, that would, you know, there's not too many along Route 23. Let's see, Findlay has one. Upper Sandusky has, you know, just so-so. They take care of a lot of trucks, but I think mainly for parking to eat. But Marion, with its concentration of trucks, wow. Is that what's going to go in there at 98 and 309? I wonder. Because for years, it was owned, I think, by the Shivingtons. And for a long time, they had built mounds to where they could, you know, race car, not regular race car, but you know what I mean. And then it became abandoned, more or less, and just so-so. But now, so whoever has taken over has mowed down all the buildings and all the trees. It's like they're getting ready for something big. But what would it be? Do any of you have any idea? If you do, give me a buzz. Let everybody know what your idea is. Okay, now let me see. I should mention, too, that Trinity Baptist Church, their Sunday sermons are heard on WWGH on Sundays and Wednesdays in the evenings, 6:10 to 7 p.m. That's Sunday and Wednesday.
Ted, you are really a pioneer. You were the first viral video in 2011.
Yes, that is true. But I have a problem since then. I was hoping you can help me with that, Scott.
What's that?
Well, I can't seem to find the right antibiotic to get rid of this viral video.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, now listen. What is the first thing that your doctor or medical people ask you, other than your A or your what year were you born? And 9/21/34. I've told that I bet 600 times in the past year. 9/21/34, your birth date. And other than that, that's the first thing you always ask you. What's your birth date? And then after that, do you have pain? How, every time, do you have pain? Well, I've not had pain. But how many people have had pain? Now, when I was in the hospital here at Marion General, they even have a chart on the wall, a pain chart. And you can look at that and make note of what level you're at in pain. And then we hear all the, you know, the information about opioids and pain relievers. Is it just a standard procedure, though, asking about do you have any pain? It's not the ground base for prescribing painkillers, is it? But they always ask you, where do you have pain? Interesting, isn't it? But I couldn't get over, though, when I was in Marion General, on the wall is a pain chart, you know, like 1 through 10. And you can, with your eye, you can pick out what level you are in pain. And, of course, a lot of people have pain, obviously, or there wouldn't be so many opioids prescribed, I guess. I don't know. How about you? Do you have pain? What's your birth date? 10:33 is the time. Okay, getting back to our questions today. All right. Now, yesterday I asked you to name the man who designed the Palace Theater in Marion. He's listed in all the booklets. When you go to a play or anything at the Palace, the booklet will have his name in it. Do you remember his name? Yeah, his first name, I think, was John. What's his last name? The man who designed the Palace Theater and designed other theaters just like the Palace. He also had this quirk. He was a parrot lover. And in every theater he designed, he placed a parrot. Obviously an artificial parrot, but that was like his signature. But what was this man's name? All right. 10:34 is the time. Okay, and yesterday I asked about, in Bucyrus, there was this company that made this huge thing that ran on railroad tracks and was used all over the country. Now, I'll tell you what it was, if you can tell me the name of the company. It was a locomotive crane. That's what it was that I was talking about yesterday. And they were, you know, one of the prime producers of locomotive cranes. Now, these are the cranes that were taken to accident sites. They could lift a loaded car right up from the berm and put it back on the tracks. Oh, there, you talk about heavy-duty cranes. But what was the company name? What was that company name in Bucyrus? Now, I don't know if they still make any locomotive cranes, but there is a huge company there, a railroad repair company that occupies quite a few acres. They do work in Marion here, too, repairing railroad cars. But what is the company name of the locomotive crane producer that was in Bucyrus? All right. Now, yesterday, too, I had a question that I never got the answer for. And that was, what did waitresses, I guess you could say waiters too, all of them used something that was produced in Shelby, Ohio. Shelby was also the producer of a recreational device. Yeah, Shelby, the most, where they had all that 125-mile-an-hour tornado over this past weekend. But Shelby has always been an industrial town, the home of seamless tubing. In fact, seamless tubing, the process and everything was invented in Shelby. And Shelby Seamless Tubing is a huge company. And what else do they have in Shelby yet? Well, they have the company that occupies the Shelby Hinge Company, and that's Glenn Surplus. But I don't believe they still make the item that waiters and waitresses all had. And I know they do not produce the recreational vehicle that they used to. But they do, and they have had conventions of these particular items, that recreational items, from people that own these that have saved them over the years and now worth a lot of money. So what was it? What was that recreational device made in Shelby? Or what did waiters and waitresses use? And most of them used this same thing. Made in Shelby. I think I asked this years and years ago, and I don't know if I got an answer then or not. Okay, so what else can I ask you today? Name the artist, the mural artist that did the mural downtown. What was it? Well, I'll give you his first name. It was Eric. Eric what? Now, Eric was married in Bucyrus. He's not from Bucyrus. I think he was from the state of Washington. Oh, here we go. Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Charlie. I'm just about ready to go out after that thunderstorm and do what I've done here for about the last week and a half.
What was that?
I think I'm going to make progress in the yard and stuff, but I know that's an impossibility, so I'm going to try to answer a question.
I thought maybe you're just going to lean back in your easy chair and sleep.
Well, you know what? I've been very fortunate. I haven't got into that category yet, except for those real cold, nasty days we had, and I participated. That's how you pronounce that word. We say participated.
Yes.
Participated in your quiz show. So here I am ready to go out the door, and I just heard that question about the waiters or whatever.
Right.
Both of them. First time I ever hear something like that. I visualize the females with a little apron around them, and then they got a pad and a pencil.
Yeah.
And
you're getting close.
Okay. And then let's see, what else was there pertaining to
the recreational device made in Shelby?
Yeah, I haven't got that one, but for the pencil and paper or the pad and pencil, they always had that stuck up.
Okay, yeah. Now, that's part of my question. What, and Shelby produced what they called Shelby Sales Book. That was the name of the pad with the carbon paper in it.
Okay.
Shelby Sales Book Company.
Okay, well, did I win on that one then?
Well, no, you've got to have the recreational device, too.
Oh, there's a recreational device. My goodness, that covers a lot of country.
Well, it did. It really did cover a lot of country when it was built, but they don't build it there anymore.
You mean it could be an ultra-chain vehicle or something like
that? Well, it was a recreational vehicle.
Boy, oh boy, Charlie, you're making my brain hurt me right now. I'm going to have to get off the air here.
Well, you think about it.
Yeah. Hey, Charlie,
yeah.
You know one thing I wanted to kind of quote on the restaurant business.
Yes.
Can you believe, Charlie, the food that you can get $2 for $5, you and your wife? Now, we're talking about people in our age group. We could wolf down about five of them things, you know, in our day, you know. But $2 for $5, you and your wife, and if you just want to drink bottled water instead of soda, I know that stuff isn't supposed to be good for you, but we're at the age now I'm not going to worry about it.
Well,
I'm not going to be around too much
exactly.
longer anyhow.
That's what
I'm going to enjoy the food.
That's what I tried to tell the doctors. I said, I'm 84 years old. Who cares now?
Yeah, Charlie, and you know what? I heard you quote about all the scans and stuff. Not scam, but I think it's a connection between the scams and the scans and all that stuff. I think it's taking money out of our pocket that should never be allowed. Can you imagine if you were paying for that out of your pocket, all those ones that you've been to here in the last 2 days, you said on the air that you would never, you could have never been a professional ball player. Then it had all your thousands and thousands of millions of dollars gone just for paying for that if it wasn't for insurance.
Can you just imagine what it would be like if finally they legalized college sports betting?
That's another phase we're going to go into. But you know what? Here it is now in the baseball, and I just heard over the radio there the other day. I listened to it very carefully. The guy, when they say contracts, I kind of listen, and I haven't got all of it down pat. But I thought it was a guy signed a contract for 4 years in baseball, and he would receive $124 million for 4 years.
Yes, isn't that something? Woo.
Now, those guys say they go to college, and they're mostly out, 21, 22, right in there somewhere, and then they play until they're about around, 30, something like that.
Right.
They've got a pretty good piece of change if they use their head and keep it, and invest or whatever. I don't think I'd invest money anymore if I had to do over with. I think I'd go to the old jar and stick it in the ground somewhere. I think you'd be better off, wouldn't you, Charlie?
Well, and Ted, did you ever wonder what some of the star football players in colleges, what their prime subject is in college? Is it being a doctor or lawyer, or is it just being in some fluff topic? Because it's sports.
They didn't have any knowledge of anything learning in college in the day. If you could knock somebody on their butt and you can continuously do that and have a winning team, you didn't have to open a textbook. But today they are producing, making them, eligible or non-eligible if they don't get their classwork. But golly, there's all kinds of things you can take in college that really don't.
that you can breeze through, yes.
So anyhow, I thought I'd throw my line in there, but that food thing and everything, I never seen, and you talk about big restaurants, Carol and I, we don't go to big restaurants anymore. You know what really made me, they said, hey, what's this taking out here, what's this $12 for? Oh, that's the tip. I said, hey, I'm going to tell you something right now, buddy.
Yeah.
You don't take no tip out of mine and put it in that on that bill, because I'm the one that will determine who gets the tip and who don't get the tip.
Yeah.
And they said, well, that's the way we operate. I said, well, I'm not going to be coming here anymore. You think I'm going to pay a big expensive tip? It used to go 5, 10, 15, it's up to 20-some percent now on what you get. And for the guy that owns the place, he don't have to pay him only $8 an hour? Come on, Charlie, that ain't right. You don't have to go to school very long to do the math on that.
That's life in the fast lane.
But here's another moral of that story. I'm not a cheapskate at all. If there's a young man or a young woman, if I go in a restaurant, I've always been this way for all our 57 years of marriage, that, I'll determine if they deserve whatever amount of tip.
There
wasn't no such a thing. I'd give them, back years ago, a $5 tip was big time in our wages, a blue-collar worker,
Today, they kind of
a $10 or $20 tip.
Okay, I'm going to break here in a couple of seconds. Thanks, Ted.
I'll see you later, Charlie.
Okay, all right.
Ted, did you know President Harding's dog, Laddie Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
ATG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, isn't it just amazing the number of cars that are crossing over into your path, and a lot of times it ends up in head-on collisions, or maybe the car, seeing what's ahead, dives off into the ditch to avoid it. Just texting and looking at your smartphone is the death of many people every day in this country. Now, I wonder, too, about the screen in the middle of your dash. Should you look over at that screen for any reason, you would take your eyes off the road for a few seconds, and sometimes that's all that's necessary to get into trouble. Well, anyhow, if you look in your rearview mirror when you're at a stoplight, 9 times out of 10, there'll be somebody with their head down, texting or doing something, looking at pictures on their Facebook or on their smartphone. Okay, 10:47 is the time. And, yes, can you tell me the man who designed the Palace Theater? He was quite well known in the theater world. Of course, unless you were in the theater world, you wouldn't know, would you? Unless you saw his name in the program booklet that's given to you when you go attend a play at the Palace Theater. He's there. Okay. Now, the artist that came to Marion was hired to do a mural there at the corner of Center and State. Center and Prospect, yes. Remember? There's one part of that mural that was finished. And that's the lady sitting on top of the world. That's in color. But there are a lot of faces in green all around that, and that green is primer paint. But who was the artist that was hired? What was his name? He did all the murals in Bucyrus, and that's why they hired him to come to Marion, because people liked all those murals in Bucyrus. And boy, there are a lot of them. 1, 2, 3... major ones downtown, plus there is one in, I think, the St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Murals by the same man who was married. He and his girlfriend, they were married in Bucyrus on the courthouse steps quite a few years ago. It was during the time he was doing the first mural on the square. Now, I remember where that mural is on the square. I remember the building that was once there, because I grew up there, and there were Bianchi's there. There was the Chamber of Commerce had an office there, and the Deal House, and a lot of others, and that's all gone. But in its place is this beautiful mural. Wow. 10:49 is the time, and of course, in Marion, if you were going south on Prospect Street, you couldn't just readily see that mural to your left, because you would have had to turn your face to the left, and who knows, the car in front of you might have stopped. And so you've got to put a mural where it can be seen easily. Okay, 10:50 is the time. I hope not everyone's watching television this morning and the release of the redacted version of the Mueller report. Oh boy, that, I tell you, that'll be slashed, bashed, and hammered away for weeks to come. All the little points in there, because there is a group, a well-known group, that hopes they'll find something in there that they can impeach the president with. Simple as that, I guess. But you'll see you'll see them in action here today and from here on. examining all the points that were brought out in this redacted, edited version of the Mueller report. Okay, now, name that company in Bucyrus that produced cranes for the railroad. They were cranes that lifted the railroad cars from the ditch or from the road bank in cases of wrecks. And they were so powerful, probably more powerful than you could ever imagine, because they had to lift loaded cars, bring them upright, and set them back on the tracks. Now, did you ever notice, though, that train cars, the truck underneath the train car, I don't think is attached solidly to the train car. So, in other words, if a coal car went by you and rolling along on its wheels, and suddenly something came along and lifted up on the coal car, there still would be wheels on the tracks. Isn't that the case? Just weight alone keeps the wheels, the unit onto the wheels, is that right? That's just my observation. 10:52 is the time, and normally we would have George Katsotis in today. Okay, so I've got a few questions left over. Now, here's a new one. Yeah, there's, to me, one of the most interesting places in Ohio as far as a natural thing goes. It stretches from Millersburg on south and on up north to almost Worcester, an area of land that is all water, all swamp. It's amazing. Have you ever noticed that? Now there's a river through there. Can you name that river? Name the river, and it stretches from clear up near Worcester all the way down through, where does it end up? Southwest, I think, of Millersburg. A river. What's the name of that river? And that whole area has that name to it also, I believe. Okay. A few questions today, but not very much in the way of answers. Name the artist. The mural artist that did the mural in downtown Marion. Or name the designer of the Palace Theater. Obviously, I do not have any theater people listening, or they would be on the phone right away. They would know the name of the man, the architect, that designed the Palace Theater and other theaters just like it. All right? And let's see, what else do I have here that I haven't? One of the first birds to come back in the springtime, kind of a harbinger of spring is almost here. What would that bird be? What kind of a bird is the welcoming bird of springtime? It's not a cardinal, it's not a robin, and it's not a Baltimore Oriole. But it's another, a bird that's all around. It has a particular sound to it. It's not a melodious sound, but it has something you could, without looking at it, you'd say, oh, there's the blank blank. Now, what bird is that? Yeah, it shows up every year, one of the first birds to say, hey, spring is here. Are almost here. What would that bird be? Now, birds that are gone are the juncos. They're all back in Canada now, enjoying cooler weather. Okay, 740-383-9944. And give me a buzz. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? I still would like to know exactly what will be happening here at 98 and 309 on the northwest corner, a big area that has been... Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, would that be the Bob White?
No, it's not the Bob White. No. Thanks.
Well,
yeah. Any other you can think of? Okay. No, not the Bob White. Now, I could ask you, too, what soap, what laundry soap, was the Bob White whistle or song used for? I'll give you a prize if you can tell me The Bob White whistle was used to promote a certain wash day powder. Yeah. Oh, my. You remember that? Or is that beyond your time? The Bob White and the wash day powder. I can hear it now. The radio commercial. Mm-hmm. Rinse all white, happy little wash day song. But a bird would whistle that. What bird was that? It was a Bob White, but what was the name of the soap? What was the laundry? I don't even think they called them detergents then. Detergent must have been a later on title. Okay, so there's something to think about. What bird, it was a Bob White, what wash day soap did it promote? It wasn't Fels Naphtha. Remember Fels Naphtha? Remember your parents or your mother taking a paring knife and slicing up Fels Naphtha and putting it in the wash? In the old Ringer wash tub? Yeah, that was a long time ago. And then, in order to keep her from having to cut that Fels Naphtha soap up, you remember what color Fels Naphtha was? But they came out with all these different detergents. So you no longer, but still, Fels Naphtha is still available. You can still slice it up and put it in the wash. Now, Fels Naphtha, in its raw form, was used for something else. Now, what would that have been used for? Like if you made a paste out of Fels Naphtha soap. And what was it used for, the paste on the human body? What would you have used Fels Naphtha for? Yeah, to ease something that happened to you. You understand what I mean? Okay, Fels Naphtha, happy little wash day. Oh, that wasn't, no, it was the other. Rinse all white, happy little wash day song. But Bob White was the bird that sang, or they used the whistle from, for that commercial. Boy, maybe I'm talking about things that happened too long ago. I hear people say, you know, things just aren't like they used to be. I can remember when we used to leave home, we never locked our doors. You didn't? Now tell me the truth. How many of you really locked your doors? You never trusted entirely your house's security. We always locked our doors. And I bet you did too, but that's used as to denote the friendlier times of the past. Well, we never locked our doors. Our kids stayed out until dark every night. Well, in a lot of cases, there were curfews in towns. And when the curfew bell rang, your kids better be home. In Bucyrus, the curfew bell rang at 9 o'clock on summer evenings. The bell used for that was the fire department bell. We probably had one in Marion, didn't we? A fire department bell that tapped out the box number? I don't know, did we? Are any old fire chiefs listening that could give me the history of the old fire bell? It was there one in Marion? Is it still there? Did it tap out the box number? Yeah. Oh, hey, we're coming up on 11 o'clock already. I can't believe it. Just don't leave your home today without locking the door. Oh, my. Things of the past. 740-383-9944 is our number to call. And we'll be back here in about 13 or 14 minutes. Don't go away.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary owner of the Marion...